The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This is number 169. Giggling's over. This is Jeremy. It's Kevin. Eric's off doing his thing. Dusty is busy working. So, you know, you're stuck with the two of us again. So,
yep.
Whatever. Okay, so good show. We were supposed to start this.
Excellent. We're supposed to be. Didn't leave.
Yeah. Well, I specifically said we needed to be done by 8 o'clock because of the Beef O'Brady's St. Petersburg Bowl. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Beef O'Brady's Bowls at St. Petersburg? These things are getting difficult, man.
Just... Yeah, no, I like that it's not just the Idaho Bowl anymore. It's the famous Potato Idaho Bowl.
Yeah, well, as it should be. What the hell else is there in Iowa? I almost said Iowa, which is an old joke from the audio experience days. What else is there in Idaho besides potatoes?
Evidently a lot of gun ranges from what I remember from Up All Night with Dave Attell.
Really? I don't think I ever saw those.
Yeah, he actually said that was one of his favorite towns because there's just all kinds of, you know, there's just a lot of places open late. Oh. He went out to gun range. He got hammered and then went out to gun range at 5 in the morning or something like that.
Well, dang. All right. You know. I guess it would be better than seeing some of the other horrible shit he did at 5 in the morning. So the one was that sewer. The guy that had to clean the grates in the sewer system. That was just the most vile thing I've seen. It was just disgusting. Just picking out diapers and towels.
Just since I watch Dirty Jobs all the time, used to at least.
Yeah, that's not on anymore, is it?
I don't know. They were taking a break, and then I think they came back, and it really just shouldn't be on anymore. Like, I mean, it was a great show, but there was a real... They put their own limitation, which is we're not going to go back and do the same job twice. And, like, they kind of got to the point where, like, okay, we didn't quite do this with this job last time. It's just, like, not that I was mad that they broke the directive or anything like that, but, you know, I mean, it makes sense. It's just going to be boring if you keep on doing the same damn thing.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
3 or 4 different times.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
I guess we can just talk about whatever we want. Fuck them. I don't care. We're going to talk about WWE again because... Is there anything to talk about in TNA besides Jesse Neal leaving?
I did not watch this past week because, thankfully my cable went out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I haven't actually recorded or seen it live. I've only seen the YouTube videos of certain clips, just because we have other things recording and it just supersedes it, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not hard to supersede that show.
No. And the only reason I even brought up the TNA bait was that last night at Raw, the way the show started with CM Punk doing the introductions.
Right.
When CM Punk stops and goes, Who won his match? I'm going to paraphrase it real quick. But the important part was that he said the winner of the match was CM Punk and still the best wrestler in the world or something like that.
Right.
And Elise goes, is he really the best wrestler in the world? And I remember it was an old – and I purposely left all this out when we were talking earlier today. I remember an old adage. I think it was either Hogan, Austin, or Bret Hart. One of those guys said – if you're the champion, you're in WWE, and you're their champion, you're the best in the world, regardless if you know how to wrestle. And so to me, that makes me think it was Hogan that said something like that.
Right.
So that's always been something that stuck with me because it is the biggest promotion, wrestling promotion in the world.
Right.
And I know there can be the argument like, you know, if Santino was the champion, would that make him the best in the world? Well, if he's putting asses in the seats, then yeah. I mean, you're making the most merchandise, you're putting the asses in the seat, and you're getting people to buy pay-per-views and watch your show on free TV, then yeah, you're the best in the world. I don't think there's any way around it, is there?
Not really.
Oh.
You know, I mean, you could make the argument sometimes. That's it. I kind of cracked up, and I know this is going to segue a little bit into Cornette on the shit show today after Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
But just him talking about how great Davey Richards is, and it's just like, you know, you almost get to that, if a tree falls in a forest and no one's around, does it, you know, do you really hear anything?
Right.
Kind of a deal. It's just like, who gives a fuck? Like, I don't care if you have a new cable deal. Like, I forget each and every week that I have you.
Right. Yeah. I record the show. I watch a little bit of it, and it's still the production values that I can't sit through, and which I guess is hypocritical because I watch PWO, and they don't have the greatest, but I don't know.
Yeah, they're also not on a national deal.
Right, right.
And they haven't been around. This is season 5, so they've only had 5 years.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And how long has Ring of Honor been around at this point?
Yeah, and there's definitely not the cash influx either. So, no, I understand that. So
yeah.
But... I was going to say. So anyways, yeah, I just told her. I looked at her and I said, I go, well, he's a WWE champion. And you know, Daniel Bryan's a world champion. And she's like, well, does that make him the best in the world? And I was like, tell me who TNA's champion is.
Oh.
And she goes, I don't know. I was like, there you go. And I'm not even going to bring up Ring of Honor because, you know,
it's an even bigger waste of time than TNA.
Yeah. So I was like, well, who's, you know, I can't remember Japanese wrestling leagues anymore. It's how bad my brain's getting.
Dragon Gate USA.
Well, yeah, well, there's that too. It's like, well, who's the champion there? I mean, you know, you go with going just by the big ones. The best wrestler in the world is always the guy who makes the most money. That was a Hogan line.
Oh,
the best wrestler in the world makes the most money. So... I guess maybe I'll speak for myself in this. My perspective is different than everybody else's. You can wrestle a 15-minute match on a pay-per-view and make $50 million in a year, you know, just throwing numbers out.
Yeah.
Or you can wrestle an hour match for an internet pay-per-view and make $25,000 a year. And I guess business is one thing, but it's really the same thing in wrestling. So, and anyways... Yeah.
If you're going an hour with a match, your match is just too fucking long anyway.
Yeah.
More times than not. Like, I mean, you know, I can handle those lengths of matches every now and again, but it just gets a little ridiculous sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as they're engaging. I don't like the Iron Man matches, especially now where they just always seem to just... put shit in your face the whole time, and it's like, ugh. Just the constant changes, like the 30-minute Iron Man match that goes to a draw, and then they give you the finish on free TV.
Yeah, well, that is one good reason to bring up TNA.
Yeah. So
I forgot about that joke ending to that pay-per-view.
Yeah. So, anyways, but no, I guess, I forgot to shut my phone off. So, there you go. Okay. Elisa's going to her friend Brandy's. Okay, cool. In case anyone wanted to know where she was going to be tonight, that's where she's at. So, party on, fellas. anyways, that totally blew me away. Hang on. All right, so they start the show off by introducing the champions. Now, we can go back to tables, ladders, and chairs. Really, the big story out of the pay-per-view, CM Punk wins, Zack Ryder wins, Daniel Bryan, you know, whatever, he wins.
Yep.
No, regardless of how.
Cash is in the briefcase.
Yeah. And then Samoa Joe, oh,
Yep, Samoa Joe.
I don't know why I'm so obsessed with this, but wasn't he at one point, like, supposedly the most marketable of all these guys? I mean, he was the one that had, like, a bigger bulk to him. His wrestling style was a little bit better.
Yeah, well, he made the smart plan to go with TNA. I mean, that's just an indictment right there. You know, I mean, you can rip on the WWE all you want about using smaller guys and whatnot, but at least they give them a chance, and they've given both those guys a consistent push, or at least screen time. Joe had a pay-per-view match last. Like, I don't think that last pay-per-view he had a match.
Oh, I have no idea. Wasn't there some sort of tag tournament or something?
I don't know. I didn't even.
Oh, no, that was on Impact. Yeah. No, you're right. He wasn't on it.
Okay. I didn't have the results pulled up.
Yeah. But no, I just wanted to mention that still the poor business decision on his part. Look at CM Punk. He ate shit for how long? I mean, they put him in OVW wrestling to hone his skills, basically.
Yep. And then
push him a little bit
in ECW to start with, which was a joke really from the get go. It was just like so Vince McMahon could profit from the name ECW. Because he didn't quite have enough profit from them yet.
Yeah. Well, but at the same time, that was a good place for him. I always thought that was a good place for him to start. It was after he was there for a while that it became like, okay, they're going to move him to the main roster. When they did, then he was getting beat by everybody. I mean, I remember that sound beating he got from Batista on SmackDown one time. But I mean, he paid his dues, if you want to put it that way. They got behind him with the Money in the Bank. He won it 2 years in a row, cashed it in and won 2 years in a row, had a really good heel run. Then they pulled back for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And to me, it seems like he figured out how to play WWE's game.
Okay.
And it was, okay, you're going to push me. I'm leaving. They're like, well, wait a minute. We can give you that. And then he got what he wanted, and now he's been pretty much running quickly ever since.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's done a good job. And, I mean, that intro is just one of those things of, at a minimum, he's making things different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not that same old shit. Like, and I know that I don't know if it's a decent place to bring this up, but, I mean, to me, it all kind of intermixes. They're going to probably end up blaming the shit ratings on him, too.
I'm sure that's going to happen. And I...
You know, I guess I guess that's why I wanted to sort of... to me, that ties in.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot of factors for that. And it all ties into the same thing. You got Zack Ryder. And I know we were going back and forth a little bit about this.
Right.
Because another site said, you know, they were worried about how Zach would translate to a mass audience. Well, he gets huge pops in huge markets.
Yeah. And I mean, if you just
Philadelphia.
Looked at all the gear that was out there, like, I lost track of how many foam fists they had in that fucking crowd last night.
Were there foam fists? Really? I didn't see that.
Oh, wow. Are you fucking blind?
That's awesome.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, they have foam fists.
No. All right.
Yeah, like there was, I mean, I stopped at like somewhere well north of a dozen in the crowd. Yeah, like I agree that it took, like he didn't translate to TV right away. That part I'm not going to disagree with, but. It's felt like to me, and I mean, I guess this is what I was getting at, that because he's probably been on TV, what, 3 or 4 months now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those first couple of 2-3 months, I don't think they really did him any favors. But the last month, they've really gotten, maybe not even gotten behind him, but at least given him more TV time, which is getting behind him as far as I'm concerned. And the crowd has started to react to him. And I guess my main example that I've been going with was the Broski boot. Like, when he does that woo, woo, woo right before that, like, everyone, it seems to me, the last month has just been going bananas with that.
Dude, you got to see this merch page for Ryder. Holy shit. I'm linking you. Just put an insider thing, folks.
Okay. But,
holy shit. They're fucking baby bibs. Maybe I'm focusing too much on money now, but that's amazing to me. This was a guy, and you just said he's only been on TV 3-4 months. This was a guy that was nowhere back in July. Absolutely nowhere. So, all right, 6 months, we'll say.
Yeah.
6 months ago, he was nowhere. Now he has T-shirts. He's got his own standee, Broski parking only sign. And this is cheesy shit that no one should really buy. But there's a Broski wig, a Broski kids wig, glasses, a nightlight. I mean, oh my God, I don't see the fist though, but this is a guy that was nowhere. And this is totally off the subject. I'm just dumbfounded how far he's come.
Yeah. Yeah, you might say that his rise has been something close to meteoric.
Wow. That's just... Sorry, that just blew my mind, man.
It helped that he, you know, I mean, he honed his own gimmick on his show. You know, I mean, I think that if you'd go back to the beginning, his stuff wasn't exactly the same as what it is now.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of touched things up and done a better job with it.
Did you know there's a Drew McIntyre shirt? One shirt? I shouldn't say that because Daniel Bryan only has two shirts, but it's the same shirt, just one's a youth size, one's an adult size. But no, so...
Yeah, I'm going to make you tap or whatever it is with two fists on it.
Yeah, I'm not really... I'm not crazy.
Yuck.
No. But no... I'm sorry, man. The Zach Ryder thing totally threw me for a loop. I've lost my train of thought. So, what were we talking about?
We were talking about how possibly the shit ratings are going to get blamed on CM Punk and all the new people.
Well, and yeah, that's what. Okay, but what I was getting at was Zach Ryder before the foam fist and the merchandise thing. The gimmick was so small at first that people would. I mean, it almost. Reminded me of a Santino kind of gimmick, to where it's like, ha ha ha, everyone likes to see him, but no one takes him seriously.
Oh, right.
So when he goes to the big cities like New York, he loved him, Boston loved him, Chicago, you know. But I want to see when he gets to Podunk, Oklahoma, if they'll give him the cheers that these other cities have. That to me is a testament to his growth, which of course, now that I say that, when we were in Greenville, he wasn't at SmackDown, but his merchandise was everywhere. I said he was the number three guy there. So I want to jump on the wagon and say, yeah, you know, he's catching on to everybody. But once they get into that swing again on the WrestleMania tour, that's where it'll really be telling on TV if people get behind it. Plus, and this is going to be everybody's problem, the way they push these guys.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Look at Daniel Bryan's push. Look at Zack Ryder's push. Ryder, for the longest time, was kept off TV. They'd mentioned his name, and they'd go, well, he wants a shot at Zack Ryder. Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And then Cole would run him down, and then you'd never see him. He's really been given no chance to talk other than that awkward stuff with Cena 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Right.
So I think they will blame these guys because of that, because there's not a lot of emotional investment, at least the way I see it.
Right.
It's just right now it's the cool thing to do. Like booing Cena is still the cool thing to do while you're wearing his merchandise. You know?
Right.
But I mean, Daniel Bryan, Eric and I were talking about it. And I think he put the convo up. I don't know. That was his job. But Daniel Bryan wins the Money in the Bank case, and he's won 5 matches since?
Oh, yeah, a handful.
Yeah, and it wasn't he was beaten soundly on SmackDown by, was it Cody Rhodes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the inconsistent push. You know, Daniel Bryan doesn't get a lot of chances to talk either. He's gotten more. Don't get me wrong, he's getting more.
Right.
But, you know, not up to snuff, really. So.
Yeah, no. Long-term-wise, I still think that CM Punk is the only one that has that on lockdown.
Right.
Between the three of them.
Right, yeah. But.
But if they do pretty much the same thing that you talked about him paying dues and everything, like, if they don't go into Operation Shutdown after, you know, their title runs here, they'll be okay. Because, I mean, I think Ryder's gotten better in the ring in the last couple of months here. Mm-hmm. And, part of it's just got to be being on TV.
Yeah.
And actually getting a chance to do it on TV rather than, I'm wrestling in front of, not even half the crowd for superstars.
Yeah. I think one thing we're missing as well is look at the heel contingency that they put him up against. If no one takes the heel seriously, no one's going to take the faces that serious.
Oh.
If you've got no legit threat, I mean, the main event was Del Rio, Miz, and Ziggler. And really, as much as we like Ziggler, is he catching on with the audiences?
He's getting booed pretty well.
But is that due to his association with Vicky, though, you know? And I've noticed that they're trying to keep her off of the screen with him now.
Yeah, I mean, as they should. I mean, that's the only way to prove if he's going to sink or swim in that department.
Right. Yeah, I think both agree that the mic skills are there for it, so.
Yeah, well, and that's the other problem is that, you know, and we've had this conversation before, is going back to them allowing a heel to be a heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it so rarely happens these days. It's just like, man, there's no reason to hate Del Rio. Like, am I supposed to hate him because he pushed down his assistant one time? Like, I'm not sure why I should hate him other than it was his destiny to win the WWE Championship.
Yeah, we've talked about this. I think Eric and I have talked about this. New Eric probably talked about it. He's the Mexican aristocrat, right?
Yeah.
He just doesn't come across. I mean, no Mexican aristocrat, at least I guess. I mean, I've seen a lot of Robert Rodriguez movies. None of them get in their Bentleys, Benzes. Those are two different cars, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And Lamborghinis, whatever. Drive them out honking the horn the whole time. That shit, it's so subtle, but it drives me crazy.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just think that his plainness kind of points to every heel's plainness.
Yeah.
It's just like Dolph Ziggler was with Vicky Guerrero, so you should boo him. Like, there wasn't anything more to Ziggler's character than, oh, he's with Vicky. We all hate Vicky. And The Miz, it's just like, why am I supposed to hate him? He got, like, I'm supposed to hate him because he was mad about being overshadowed by The Rock and John Cena bickering going into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he should be pissed about that. He's in the fucking main event.
But
he's wrestling in it. He should be pissed.
Okay, but here's the thing. this is redundant day, I guess. We've talked about this before. We're not the audience. So you're talking to a 10-year-old kid right now. The Miz is talking to a 10-year-old kid, and that kid's like, no, it's because you stink and The Rock's better. It doesn't matter, you know, that the argument that The Miz's argument is correct, you know?
Yeah, but it's still not a reason to hate him, though.
For the kids it is, though. Because all they hear is that they're bad-mouthing John Cena or The Rock. They don't care why he's bad-mouthing them, just that he is.
Well,
you know?
I don't know. I still just don't think they're doing a good job. I understand your point.
Yeah.
But, like, I still feel like, and this is going back to my Pixar argument, it seems like Pixar puts over the heels better than, you know, the WWE does. And it's just like, none of them, I don't think. Are just really well put over.
No. I think the best villain they've had in a while, which is going to be really weird to say, is R-Truth. When he was doing the Little Jimmy stuff, he was picking on the kids as well as John Cena, who's picking on their parents.
Oh.
That was one of the better heels, because for the audience, he was doing what was expected. But then the problem is, and even with the ratings, as I looked at them before we went on, the teenagers, the 18, the 29s, are all tuning out. They don't care about this shit.
Yeah, and I mean... And I think that it all ties together, just everything that we've talked about, honestly, is that nothing, whether it's been for the baby faces or for the heels, has been consistent.
Right.
You know, and when you're inconsistent, it's going to show. It's just like, well, I don't know what to expect from week to week. Like, you know, this could be just a utter pile of garbage. Well, and that honestly doesn't help either.
Mm. I understand the reasoning behind going to a younger audience, but I don't know. I think they fucked it up too much going to a younger audience. So I know that's not groundbreaking, but they went too far from one side to the other, and that's where it gets lost. And I think that's where the inconsistencies come from. I almost wonder sometimes, and maybe that I'm thinking overthinking this way too much, they don't think they need to worry about it because, like, this is for kids. They won't follow it because kids are fucking stupid, but they're not that stupid.
I was going to say, I just felt, and maybe I need to go back and watch it, but I mean, when we were growing up, wasn't that for the kids most of the time? Like,
yep.
I hated King Kong Bundy. Like, I know that you're, like, super I love the heels.
Nah, I never liked King Kong Bundy, though.
Oh, okay.
So.
But, you know, like, I hated all of the bad guys. I didn't like Rick Rude. Well, I didn't like the Macho Man when he was beating on Elizabeth. You know,
what kind of girl were you?
A big giant one.
Two with men.
With a nice fluffy mullet.
Too big. Yeah, well, all right. Good call. So, but, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, that just goes again to the movie thing. It's just like there are kids' movies that they're bad guys in, you know, that are consistent, and they're easy for me to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And I...
You know, I don't mind watching a kid's movie. I don't mind watching a PG movie if it's well done. Like, there's no problem with it. And it can be logical and well put together and well written.
And I was just trying to think of a good PG movie I've seen lately.
Well, I don't think any of them aren't animated, but it's another one. Shit. Oh, fuck. It was right there. Oh, you know, they still have the same writers, don't they? As far as we know.
Well, Gurwitz has taken a different position, so, I mean, things have changed writing staff-wise, for sure. So, I think he oversees both shows now. I think it's something like that. Yeah,
but I mean, I guess I was wondering if it would be worth them bringing in, saying, "Hey, we need someone from, you know, that genre to come in here and help straighten things out."
Yeah, Yeah, I was actually like SpongeBob, but I was like, can you be a little more blatant? But no, I think the mix, the reason ratings are down, and another thing is the John Cena segment, the ratings went down drastically for the second hour. John Cena wasn't on the pay-per-view. They mentioned him that he was going to respond to Kane. After his segment, ratings went down on Monday. So there's something there. I mean, you know, I think that's probably a larger part of it as well, is that Cena is established. Whether people like him or hate him, especially designated by, you know, the Cena sucks shirts or we hate Cena, whatever. Right. I think that speaks loudly to your point. The segment with Kane, an established guy with an actually intriguing story, like why is he wearing the mask? Why is he attacking John Cena and not Mark Henry? You know, the old guard standing by again. So, you know.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that'll be one reason that they say, hey. But, I mean, that's the problem is that if you go, oh, well, we can't push these guys anymore, it's, you know, you lose them becoming stars. Like, you've got to stick with someone. Like, I don't, and this kind of goes back to that, I don't care who it is. You know, it's just like, just stick with them and develop their character and, you know, make them better. And if they don't get better, then they shouldn't be on there. And
right.
It seems like all too often, like, nope, everyone stinks. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, huh? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, this new crop of guys came up and, yep, they all stink. It's just like, come on, someone's got to develop. Like, it can't be that terrible.
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah, come on. So you got to stick to your guns, but WWE doesn't do that. I mean, hell, Mark Henry is no longer the champion because McMahon was in a, as Eric said, McMahon was just in a bad mood.
Yeah, like when I read that Henry was only going to need like a couple of weeks off or something like that, but they didn't want to keep the belt on him. It's like, huh? Like he's, you know, he has been their only consistent heel recently. He's been cutting good promos. And everyone's known that he's been injured recently. Like, it's been the last 3 or 4 weeks he's been walking around with that cast. Have him walk around again. Say, hey, I got re-injured. I'm going to
put it on the other one. And even bring up the 30-day rule. Since they never do that, but, you know, you can at least invoke it and go, hey, I got 30 days. I already did this. And the 30 days is up at the next pay-per-view or, you know, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So, or have him in some goofy squash match. You know, Laurinaitis puts him in a match with Santino, and he just destroys him. So that qualifies. You know, one of those style things.
Yeah.
But yeah, since he was pissy, he had Big Show win, and then they were like, "All right, now we're gonna have Daniel Bryan win, so that we don't have to stick with this WrestleMania idea that we should have never done in the first place." Or if you were gonna do it, at least give him, you know, a win streak. Ray Emery. Ugh. But
yeah,
nah.
Well, and not just well, yeah, a win streak would have been nice. But it's just like as soon as the surprise came out of the box that he wasn't going to use that for WrestleMania, like that whole thing lost a little bit of luster to me. It's just like, "Oh, okay, well now he's going to do it before then." Like it didn't become, is he going to wait until WrestleMania now? It was like, oh, okay, he's doing it before WrestleMania now.
Yeah. And that's why I think it was the first thing I said to you Monday was, did you see the pay-per-view? How did we not see Daniel Bryan winning? I mean, how did we not see it coming? I mean, because this goes, and this is another part with the ratings, whether they got to realize whether they're sticking with something or not. This is their experimental period again. This is this year, Daniel Bryan is this year's Jeff Hardy. He's this year's Miz. And I'm trying to think of who else got inserted here.
Oh, you know? Yeah, someone had a laundry list.
Edge was another one.
Yeah, I mean, there's about a half a dozen guys or so within the last 10 years.
Right.
That have gotten this win. But, and that does go back to, are they going to stick with these guys after they, okay, like it's going to be pretty obvious that, again, only CM Punk is probably going to have a higher slot on the WrestleMania card.
Mm-hmm.
But are Daniel Bryan and Zack Ryder going to have a spot that's not in some type of goofy tag team match?
Nope. I can't see it. And I thought they did such an effective job, especially with Zack Ryder, such an effective job of building up Ryder and Ziggler, you know, the online petitions, Ryder's, you know, constantly mentioning it, using Twitter since they jerk off on Twitter all the time. I do wonder if there's some sort of payola there. Twitter's like, yeah, just keep mentioning us and we'll give you money. You know, just that's the only reason I can think of. Like, they were proud that Alicia Fox was trending on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
It was because of her shitty outfit. Oh. People were like, what the fuck was she wearing?
I thought
they were like, hey, barehead Alicia. I was like, ugh.
I thought it was because of her shitty hair color, too.
Nah, she's had that for a while.
Yeah,
so.
Well, she's had the barehead for a while, also.
Oh, really? I don't even pay attention. That's how little I pay attention to her. Which is too bad, because she used to be really awesome.
Because they started about a month ago, and I mean, that's just another one. It's just like, Beth Phoenix was the world beater, and then all of a sudden it's just kind of like, oh, okay, we're, women's division.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, you know, like, they did a good job of building her up, and they needed to have, they just couldn't get a challenger for her, honestly. That's what the problem ended up being. Because they had nobody else to, you know, build her up over.
Yeah, it's because they burned through their stuff too fast.
Yeah.
So, that's why. I mean, they could have had a good feud with Eve and Beth Phoenix. They're physically on the same size. Eve's not a bad wrestler. Could have done something. But instead, they just wasted it on throwaway matches. And
yeah, they did a TV match, and they're like, oh, now Eve gets to win a Battle Royal. Oh, okay, now she gets the pay-per-view match 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Great.
Whatever. But, no, so I going back to the experimental thing, though, I mean, that's really what this is. And it's, we all know it's not going to last long. It looks like the Big Show's going to beat him up on Friday, which will be on the spoilers for, you know, Tuesday. So there's a distinct possibility Brian loses at Royal Rumble, and that's fine. It's all in how it's the same trick. It's all in how he handles it afterwards. Do you think anybody actually expects there to be a sustained title run? And I don't mean like he's going to have the title at WrestleMania and be in the semi-main event. I don't think anybody is that clear as like that. Delusional.
Well, just when people start posing those questions, it makes me think that they're delusional. You know what I mean? Like, pretty much anyone on the internet is just like, oh, this is so great that Brian won. It's just like, don't you see it just as that transitional thing? Like, why is it great? Like, it's just like, it's a step in the right direction.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think part of it also is everyone, like, remember everyone, not everyone, but reading about people bitching about how Triple H was just like using Zack Ryder to placate the internet people and the this and this. And now Zack Ryder has a sustained, you know, he's a title holder. He has a sustained presence on TV. The merchandise, which I looked around and everyone has, like, it's the baby bib is just a generic thing, but it still speaks though that he didn't have this before. He could barely get this T-shirt online, or, you know, in stock as well. So, I guess Daniel Bryan is a young enough guy that there's no reason to push him that fast so far. I think we've mentioned this before. Eric and I talked about this. I think everyone wants everything to happen immediately. There's no patience. And if it doesn't go the exact way that you would write it, and I think we're all guilty of this at one point or another.
Right.
That, you know, CM Punk should have come in. He should have immediately challenged Triple H for the title, won that belt, and never lost it until 5 years later. Well, he comes in, wins some matches. He loses the match here. Oh, my God, look, they're burying him. And it's like, well, you don't want to have always use Star Wars reference for whatever reason, but you don't want to have Luke Skywalker fighting Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi, and then the Emperor getting thrown over the platform by Vader in Star Wars. Because you have nothing else to look forward to.
Oh.
You know, you don't want to waste the journey the entire way, you know? It'd be a bumpy ride, but if CM Punk had come out and immediately won titles, would that whole thing with him beating Jeff Hardy, you know, winning Money in the Bank, doing any of this, would it have all been at all as satisfying as that long drawn out process where you're like, oh my God, look, it finally happened?
No, but I still think that there's some way to balance that between the inconsistency that they seem to give these guys and drawing it out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
You know, to me the inconsistency is just a little bit different of a matter. It's just like you can still have them on TV and not have them get the wins and, you know, just let it be built up like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine if you can tell that it's going in some sort of a direction. But even, and I might be going wrong here, but even with the Punk thing, it seemed like that almost came out of the blue all of a sudden. You know, like him going for the main title. On Raw, like he don't, because didn't he have both of his title reigns on SmackDown?
Right. Yeah.
So you know, for all intents and purposes, like the guy hadn't done anything.
In WWE world, yeah, he hadn't.
Yeah,
done
in WWE yeah. land, he hadn't really done anything. So you know, it would have been nice if he would have had a program before, like, oh, my contract's up, I need a title shot. What? Like, how do we go from you not really being anything in this company, you know, really, to warning a title shot enough that you're going to leave the company and anybody's going to care?
Yeah. Well, it was that one breakout moment that did it, and I guess that's what everyone needs to look forward to. Is if you've got the guts to do it or you've got the clearance to do it.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't cut that promo about Cena in WWE, CM Punk doesn't matter right now.
Nope.
Okay.
No, and that's what needs to happen. And I mean, I guess that's why I was more stressing about Daniel Bryan and Zack Ryder just sticking with it and still not hanging their heads. Like, CM Punk obviously didn't do that. And it must have been more of a behind-the-scenes thing, because I certainly didn't see it that often.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it's an interesting time. It's that end-of-the-year thing to where, you know, they experiment. Ratings are down across the board at this time of year. Now, I know the football game last night got some big numbers, I guess because the Steelers are on, who pretty much are America's real team.
That helped, but I mean, it was a huge game just for both sides, which it helps when you have two 10-3 teams playing in the 14th week of the season.
Yeah. and it helps that one's the Steelers. I mean, I know you're a Steelers fan, so you might be blowing it off, but merchandise sales, for Christ's sake. So
that,
I believe they still do.
I was a huge, I used to root for Joe Montana growing up. So, I mean, to me, San Francisco, despite the fact that they've probably been terrible for most of the last two decades.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since Steve Young left.
Yeah.
You know, to me, they're still big named, I guess. And maybe it's just my childhood tainting how important they really are. But, I mean, I think that's two big-time names.
Oh, yeah. Hell, forever, the 49ers were good forever. But again, that also speaks to the audience difference, where a lot of those people used to watch – I mean, I'll say it. A lot of those people used to watch wrestling. And now they're disenfranchised with it, you know, and just don't care. So they're not going to turn that. They're not going to turn the TV station to go back to wrestling and keep it on there when you've got that game on. Now that you not that wasn't the case before, but I don't know. This is my favorite time of year for WWE because they take chances with different things, and I don't think that we're going to see the pushback or the push is being withdrawn from Ryder, Daniel Bryan, right now. I think they'll go with it, and then come after the Royal Rumble, I think we're going to have a clearer picture of what's going ahead. At least I hope so.
Right, and I think this one goes to having more for everyone's character in general.
Mm-hmm.
As much as Cole has probably helped put over Bryan, he can still be disgusted with him, but Daniel Bryan's got to be something more than the dork.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as much as the intro is going to work for Long Island IC there, like, he's really, in a way, got to move beyond that. Kind of like Cena ended up doing with his rapper gimmick, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, it got him in the door. It got him through a couple of years or whatever. But then, even though he was still dressing up like him and kind of acting like him and busting out the rhymes every now and again, he was... you know, a different guy for better or worse or both. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it will be interesting. They, I think that Bryan has proven enough on the mic that he's going to have a chance to stick around.
Yeah. I thought that was one of the more interesting things was that Zack Ryder barely said anything. He just did his gimmick and that was it. I don't know why. I guess maybe because he's a U.S. champ and they don't care. But I think another thing that needs mentioning is the fact that they made a big deal out of the champions. They made a big deal out of the championships changing hands.
Yeah.
They finally treated it like a big deal, as the big deal it should be.
Yeah, no, they kind of, they did to me a lot of stuff that was, kind of old school last night. And, them putting over those titles was definitely the beginning of that whole theme last night.
Yeah.
Cause, and this is another guy to me that, and this goes back to something else we've mentioned before too, is that a couple of segments later there, Randy Orton and Wade Barrett, who went with the old school, old thumb to the eyes for the DQ.
Well, yeah, okay, I don't mean to stop you, just keep your thought. What the fuck was that? When has that ever been a disqualification? Even back in the 80s, that wasn't a disqualification.
I don't know. He used that against, it might have been Orton, it might have been somebody else, somewhat recently. So, I don't know. They have kind of developed a go-to for him. I don't know. I mean, he's a bare knuckle fighter. Like, I don't know what else, you know, like that seems like kind of a dirty bare knuckle fighter thing kind of to do to me.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, I don't know. It shouldn't be a DQ.
No, not at all. No, but anyways, what was your point? I'm sorry.
The whole stepping stone kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. Like, they went from Wade Barrett, you know, taking out the remainder of his team or what was his team at some point to then Ezekiel Jackson was kind of the big one in that equation when they were fighting for the,
yeah,
I don't know, U.S. title, I guess, is over there. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Interchangeable.
No, Intercontinental. Title. Intercontinental.
Okay, sure. So, yeah, it's like, okay, he wins over a big, physically imposing guy. That's kind of impressive. But then he doesn't have anywhere to go. Like, his next step up is against Randy Orton? I mean, really? Like, he doesn't have that. And I, you know, like, oh, we were talking about how Christian, too, and I guess he can tie in a little bit. He would be a nice stepping stone for the baby faces. there's no babyface guy in that slot anywhere. Like, I don't think on either either roster. I mean, I'd have to take a look to maybe come up with one. Because it's definitely not Kane anymore, or at least not for the time being.
No, well, yeah.
Because he had been in that spot. He's like, oh, big physically imposing guy. And Big Show, they seem to want to keep him a little bit further up the rung nowadays, too, instead of just being the guy that ends up, you know, losing.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's another reason why things maybe seem inconsistent is they just don't have a good way to get any of these guys up a ladder. You know, I mean, Wade Barrett seems to be doing all the things right, honestly, at least in the ring. And
yeah,
Randy Orton's too high up the ladder for him.
Right. Yeah, SmackDown's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, I love Orton, or I love Barrett, but man, just not going to happen.
Oh, so what'd you think of his hair? I didn't mind it. I thought I remember a long time ago I mentioned when he had the longer hair, he looked better on Florida Championship.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you didn't read my almost
well, I read
live.
It, but I read it, but I think you took it the wrong way. I was saying that I thought it looked better and that you were going to goof on me for mentioning another guy's hairstyle. Again.
That's
what I was talking about.
Yeah, no.
I only got 140 characters, man. So
okay. Yeah, no. I had made fun of his hair recently because he kind of wore it down, but he had like three different parts going on. It's like, "Oh my god, dude, what the hell are you doing?"
Yeah.
And
yes. Oof.
Last night he just slicked it back and then during the course of the match it started moving around, so you know, and that's going to happen. But, no, it looked fine last night, and I do kind of like him having a little bit more hair. It's better than that little, like, I don't know what the hell he was doing, that part with the little, like, Elvis-looking thing going on.
Yeah. Well, he also dropped that idiotic suit coat he was wearing that didn't make sense in the rose. So it almost seems like they've realized, all right, we can't have this guy be like trying to be as dumb as it sounds, a snazzy dresser wearing a suit coat with a rose lapel. And, you know, he's a brawler. You can't keep saying he's a bare knuckle fighter, but he wears a suit. No, that's not how it works. So,
well, if he grew out a handlebar mustache, it might work.
Yeah. But no, I think that's why the hairstyle change really, really made a difference.
Yeah,
it gave him more of a street look, I guess.
And it probably does help, too, to help hide those fucking Dumbo ears that he has.
Yeah, that's another thing, yes. Yeah. But, all right. You know, we talked long enough about one subject and a variety of subjects, so as a Christmas gift, we're going to get out of here in under an hour for a change. We're not going to be back this week. I think this is retarded. We keep saying that. Let's see. I don't know. I don't know what our schedule is going to be like the week after. So we'll have to figure that out. If not, I will say this. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year if we don't have another one. Happy Hanukkah since I started today. And I actually do have Jew friends. And I let them know every day they're Jews. Yeah, so there's that. You know the plugs, at Stunk Granny, at Granny Maze, at TheFrango11, at Dusty Giebing. Comment section, email stunkgranny@gmail.com. This is where Kevin makes up a Twitter address for Eric. I sign off. So everyone, take care. We'll talk to you next week, if not in 2012.
Well, I'm not going to make up his Twitter address. I'm just going to say that it might appear from reading the interwebs today. Eric was the first person to post a lengthy comparison between Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero and CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. So please go ahead and enjoy that, because the Big Lug worked quite hard on that article. And I'm going to go grab a sippy time beer and enjoy your holidays, grandkids.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?